You are listening to Harford County Living Podcast with Rich Bennett and Sarah Coleman. If this is your first time listening, then thank you for coming. The Harford County Living Podcast is produced every month for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at harfordcountyliving.com. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter at Harco Living and Facebook. All links are in the show notes. Now, let's join Rich, Sarah, and their special guest.
I'd like to welcome everybody to the Harford County Living Podcast. This one is actually brought to you by the Joppatown Lions Club, right there in Joppatown, of course. Their website is Joppatown, that's Joppatowne, lionsclub.org. And they are a service organization. They call themselves the new Joppatown Lions Club now. And they're looking for members, just, you know, like all the other clubs in the area. Their focus is vision screening, diabetes research, hearing, and helping out in the community. So go to their website, again, joppatownlionsclub.org, if you would like some more information. They do have a bull roast coming up April 29th. Tickets are on sale. They're on the website, $35 a ticket. And it's going to be held at Holy Spirit Church in Joppatown. Before we get started with the show, which is a special show, I wanted to announce the winners of the first ever Harford County Living Community Choice Awards. This was something new we tried, and we wanted you to vote, people to vote on it. So we only had some categories, and anybody can go in and see what categories or add categories that they want. So your favorite local radio station, you decided it was 91.1 FM WHFC, that's the college station. Your favorite local salon was Sobella Hair Studios in Joppa. Your favorite local landscape company, we actually had a tie between Four Seasons Nursery and Landscape Services and Lawnscape. Your favorite local service organization was Joppatown Lions Club. Your favorite local 501c3, the Humane Society of Harford County. And your favorite local plumbing company is Plum Crazy. Your favorite local computer store and repair, Maryland Computer Store. Your favorite local consignment shop was Curiosity Shop and Queen Bee Shop in Havity Grace. Your favorite local farm market, Bel Air Farmers Market. And your favorite local coffee shop was Coffee Coffee, right there in the festival at Bel Air. So congratulations to all of them. We will be starting voting again either in March or sometime in April. So just keep an eye out on harfordcountyliving.com, and you'll be able to find out soon enough. We are fortunate enough to be invited up to the offices of our county executive. So Sarah and I went up there to sit down with our county executive, Barry Glassman, and ask him a few questions. And I tell you, I could sit there all day and just talk history, the history of Harford County with him. But who knows? Maybe he'll find some hours in his day one day, and maybe him and I could do that along with a couple other people that I want to get on about just talking history. So enjoy the show, and you know, I think you'll enjoy it. We're here with the county executive, Barry Glassman. First of all, I want to thank you for giving us the time to come in and do this, because I know your schedule is hectic.
That's all right. It's good. It's good to talk about a lot of the things we're working on.
Well, and that's what I want to talk about, the progress report, because you, 2 years in office now?
Right. We're a little past 2 years, about okay. 2.5, but it's marching on.
And the progress that you've done in the county so far is, to me, phenomenal. And I want to thank you for that, and I'm sure you probably don't hear that enough, but I'm big into the history, so I want to go there. First of all, two historic structures you were able to save.
We did. That's one. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no,
I don't
want to
cut
fine.
You off.
You're fine. Like, no, you're fine.
That's one of my favorite topics, too. I take a lot of ribbing for it, but early on, one of the first things that we did is when we solved the town of Bel Air's water problem, and mm-hmm. a lot of folks didn't realize the Mount Soma and the Maryland America Water sale of that farm for a reservoir actually solves long-term the town of Bel Air's water problem. Now, it wasn't a crisis, but if the town ever was going to grow or do anything, they were being cut off by the Maryland Department of Environment for permits. So that is one of the things that was left on my plate that had to get done. And it wasn't necessarily popular because that is a historic farm.
Right.
It just happens to sit there where the water plant is at Winter's Run, where it could work to be a manageable solution to this long-term water problem. But one of the things we did early on when we sold that property is that we worked with the buyer and the community and my departments to make sure we saved that Mount Soma barn. The county had actually owned it for over 20 years and really never had a program to restore it or even stabilize it. So as soon as we made that sale, we budgeted money to stabilize it, which is being done now. It was close to collapsing. And the old house had collapsed over time just from lack of attention and vandals and so forth. So we're in the process of getting it stabilized. And then our historical planners are working with the Historical Society for the next step, which will be the restoration of
that. Great.
So that goes back into the early, the late 1700s with the county. And the other was the Gorsuch House that we saved, affectionately known as the Blue House because of its blue painting. And that was really destined to be torn down by the Winter's Run Golf Club for new homes, and no one seemed to want to save it. And
a shock.
Yeah, it's just that it's very expensive, and it's expensive to move them. And sometimes when they're in private ownership too, they've really fallen into so much disrepair that it's questionable if you can even restore it or save it. The nice thing about being county executive is I have to sign off on demolition permits. So that one we did not sign for about 3 months while we were negotiating a solution, whether we were going to move it, disassemble it. The Harford County Historical Society graciously agreed to kind of be the intermediary, so we funded it through them and paid to have it disassembled and put in trailers and moved to our agricultural site up in Dublin. So we were able to do that, and the same Amish crew that took it down put it back together for us. It's got some new parts but historically we kept as much of the character and the floors and some of the stuff from that period
as we could.
Yeah. I mentioned this, I talked about this when we dedicated it, but I found an interesting quote, and I can't remember who said it, but you know, it just talks about every time an old house is either reassembled or renovated, that it is kind of brought up to the generation that restores it. So we've got some new stuff in there. It's wired and for fiber and electrical, but we didn't change much else. It's got the original windows, floors, and a lot of the other things. So it will stand there for a long time. It's amazing to see the timbers that were used in the original construction. If you get a chance to visit it, we hope to get it open more once we get that site up. But we left the flooring open so you could actually see the timbers that put this thing together.
Wow.
So it should stand another 200 years.
That's great. Yeah. And that's what I think of a lot of the places here in the county. If you go in there and just look at the original floors and everything, it's amazing. And the architecture. Because prime example, stepping stone, when you look at the house up there, and we're like, why is the doors and everything straight across? That was their ventilation. That's the way it was
exactly.
done. They don't do that now. So.
Yeah. And the blue house has the same setup. It has a door on both sides that you can open because it was actually warm the day we dedicated it. We opened both doors, beautiful breeze that came through. And so part of that, I've directed our planning and zoning to begin the process of having a certified program. We've never really had a certified historical program where we can qualify for grants and do some other things. So we're beefing that up a little bit as we go along, too.
I didn't realize that. You, going into the next subject, you said putting the fiber optics and everything in there. Technology-wise, you, and I have to give you credit, this, you brought, I guess you could say, the county's website and everything into the 21st century. And all I keep hearing about is the apps and everything and how much people love them.
Yeah.
And I know where I live, a couple of people have gotten on the, I think it's the Track It app or whatever, about the holes in the streets and everything.
Yeah.
And just, unfortunately, this year you didn't really have anything for the snowplow.
The snow tracker didn't get activated. Knock on wood. I mean, we still could have an Easter blizzard. We've seen that before. But, you know, when I ran for office, I talked about I have one young son who's now out of college, but as most of us see, and I've fallen victim to carrying a smartphone all the time now and looking at it probably too much. But we really did run on using smartphone technology to make local government more efficient,
right,
and more responsive to the average citizen. So you don't necessarily have to go outside of your house to report something or follow a zoning matter. We're trying to make it much more transparent and customer service oriented, and that's one of the things I'm most proud of. We're up to what, 7 or 8 apps now, and it increases each month as we look at different ways to do it. And
plus, you're using YouTube very well as well, because you do that with the town hall meetings and everything on there.
Right, we were the first administration to do that electronic town hall budget meeting, which was you could tweet, follow on Facebook, live stream.
Yeah,
which you appreciate. It's live stream. You can follow it anywhere, and it really helps families that, you know, they can participate at the dinner table instead of trying to come to the college to a meeting. And so we're, you know, I'm not a young guy, but I think I come from the generation that I try to be as progressive with the internet and new technology as I can be.
Gotta change with the times.
And I think it's kind of transformed local. I know we've transformed the way we do business for local government,
right,
in Harford County, and I think it's been for really to the benefit of our constituents. But the other side of it is, it saves us money. A lot of folks don't realize that. Yeah, you know, I do it for transparency and to help citizens, but the other side of the coin is it does save us money, and it helps towards our efforts to reduce the county budget and begin to save some dollars that we can reinvest in our teachers, deputies, and our workforce. And that's exactly what we've done with most of the money that we've saved.
Right. And I was going to say, because that was my next thing, and, you know, the something that a lot of people are happy about, too, is that you have that money in there now to give the teachers raises and law enforcement, which to me, you know, law enforcement and fire as well, they don't get what they deserve. Not even just on the monetary value, but again, the thank you and all that. It's a lot of people look at it and they say, the budget, what do you mean? And AAA bond rating again, right?
Right.
So, yeah. Which is a good thing. Anything else you can tell us about the budget besides that? I know everything went well.
Well, we are, you know, we're coming out of a recession. When we took office, it's getting close to 3 years ago, the county had, the debt had tripled, and
right. The
surplus had fallen, you know, below $10 million, almost down to $4 million. So we really were coming out of a tough time, and most employees had not had raises for 6 years. So. We immediately came in to look at how much downsizing and how much restructuring we could do. And a lot of it is just cutting expenditures. And
right.
We have just gotten to the point where revenue is outpacing what county government is spending on the expenditure side. And it's really discipline as far as not spending more than you take in. And we've kind of stuck to that plan and then reinvesting in our workforce. Yeah, the other thing that's been difficult early on. I had to push back, say, the Havre de Grace High School project, cut the second phase of the Emergency Operations Center. So I really had to, you know, not decimate, but I really had to cut the county's capital spending way back, actually lower than it's been for 20 years, to begin to get it back in line with what we could afford. That's not easy because folks get used to new buildings, and it's fun to build things, and And in some cases, we need them, community centers and all the good things. But with that comes debt expense, and it costs money to staff them, keep them open every day. And so we've kind of just really set that aside. We're doing, we have the Havre de Grace High School back on schedule, and hopefully we'll break ground this year, and the construction will start next year.
Oh, that's good.
And we have a few other things that we're concentrating on, our stormwater management goals, local road repair, because the state has cut local road money so severely, we're using some of our bond funding to do that. So we are just doing basics. We have the capital debt down to around $40 million a year instead of the $200 that was spread out over time.
Just for the county?
Just for the county. That includes schools. All county debt, but so we feel like we've got a good plan, and I think the AAA bond rating this year we had an easy year because one of the things I preach this to the county council and to a lot of community groups is discipline. The fact that you set a plan and you follow it, you don't do anything squirrely like decide, oh yeah, I think I want to build this year, and
right.
We're going to do this, or we're going to spend 8% when we're only taking in 3%. We stick to our guns pretty much.
You have to.
If we're growing at 3 or 4%, that's what you'll see us spending in the county, and we really don't go outside of that. It's hard sometimes to tell folks no, but we stick pretty firmly to our fiscal plan. And it's paid off for us, but it does require, you know, watching the books and revenue and expenditures every month to make sure we stay on track.
That's great. Now, one of the other things I see in the county, and I did it before in the past with one of the organizations I worked for, Open Doors Career Center, volunteer projects. Seems, and I know you're big on that as well. But haven't there been some new volunteer projects that has started up since your term too?
Well, we've been one of the things early on, besides I'm a policy guy, so I like, you know, I like passing legislation, budgeting and reforming and doing things with planning and zoning, and I like all those things, and that's why I kind of enjoy this job. But early on, one of the other things we talked about is giving back more to the community,
right,
on the social side. You know, part of this thing about not building buildings, we're going to get away from the bricks and mortar to building families to make sure we have a healthy Harford County.
That's great.
And that our families are successful not only monetarily, but that they also, you know, we have an addiction problem that we wanted to make sure that we went out into the community to help families with resources for that. And that cuts across the grain. Our opioid system is prevention. We went into our schools to try to provide education there. But also little things like Project Healthy Delivery, where we have a small program that helps expecting moms get to a doctor particularly if they're, you know, at the risk of, and some of them do have opioid addictions, that in fact they're getting the right treatment or getting off to make sure the babies are delivered and born healthy. And that's a small program we don't talk a lot about, but I've heard, you know, I got to meet a young lady that we had, she had a successful birth and is doing well in her transition to become independent.
That's great.
So those are theirs. We, you know, it's parks and recreation, housing. So we have a lot of different programs that we do. Of course, we partner with the United Way. That's one of our big corporate partners here in the county. And each year we have that day of service.
Yes.
And, well, you know, what a, if you, it, that one warms your heart when you go out and see all the volunteers from every agency you can think of, even dentists, eye doctors, that are there that day to provide services to folks on their own time.
Yeah.
And we followed up also with the day of service in memory of Dr. King, where we allow county employees to donate a number of hours back, and we give them a day off to go out into the community to serve.
Neat.
And that's called our Martin Luther King Day of Service.
Huh. Yeah, the project was Project Homeless Connect.
Right.
That was great because I was there. I'm with the Lions Club when we were there doing the eye exams.
You were doing the eye, yeah.
And I had a blast just talking to these people. And it's amazing because these homeless people come in. You wouldn't know it talking to them. And the pride. So much of them have so much pride. And it's... Okay, I got to stop there because I'm going to get choked up on that.
And it's a good reminder. I tell folks it's a good reminder because we are, you know, we're fairly affluent and progressive county, yet we do have pockets, whether it's, you know, in northern Harford County. I know when my first year in office, I was running up near the Deer Creek on my daily jog, and I saw a pickup truck there and toiletries and so forth. And I found out it was a fellow who was working. I mean, he was a carpenter and... had a good job, but he was homeless. So he's parked his truck there along the creek at night to sleep, and then he'd go to work. So even in the northern end of the county and along Route 40 and some of our other areas, and even here in Bel Air, we do have pockets of poverty, and we have some schools that have to make sure that young people, you know, get a decent meal, a breakfast, dental care, and so forth. So we have those needs. We're not immune to what happened over the last 10 years with the economy and fact that there are, you know, there are families out there and even in Harford County that need help.
Right. Yeah.
And it's easy to overlook that. We're all so busy.
Yes.
A lot of us are doing well, but, you know, we've got to always remember to kind of look around and lift. My hope is that we all lift each other up.
That's true. And it's to see more people get out there and volunteer would be, you know, it's a big help too because I think you're seeing more people do that now. You are seeing more people volunteer and help out. Yeah, granted, there are still some that don't,
right?
But you're seeing more.
And we have a great local business community. I mean, I can call several different businesses and they never say no.
Right.
I mean, they always will donate time or money.
I know Sarah's business is big on that too.
I do push my guys to do that.
It is. It's it's just
during the busy season we can't always donate time, but we do try to donate to, you know, different programs out there too. So it's really important that you live in the county.
Sometimes it's just technical help, or you know, it's not always money. It's just, you know, to help people figure out how to do something.
Yeah.
Well, and a lot of people think that. They think, oh, well, I ain't got the money or you know, to donate. Okay, well, give your time. Sometimes time is more valuable than the money. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, if, you know, I don't know how many people are aware of all the programs that you or the office does or has available. Is there a phone number or on the website somewhere where people can go and, you know, I don't have money to donate or I don't have things to donate, but I do want to donate my time to teaching somebody how to write a resume or something like that. Yeah. They can...
Our website at harfordcountymd.gov, if you go to Community Services, it's got some great resources there to click on and get involved.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, there's definitely a time. Well, I know your time is valuable. You got a lot to do, so I'm going to throw this question at you, put you on the spot a little bit.
Goodness.
But I'll give you three choices. Somebody new coming to the county. I guess name three. I can't say one place because that's put you too. Three places as far that, you know, that they should visit to, I guess, to get more of what the county's about, whether it be nature, your walking. Yeah. Three places you would recommend people to get
to. So I'm a runner. One thing that I think they should do when they arrive here too is we have some great towns. I mean, I think walk the main street of Havre de Grace, Bel Air, Aberdeen. There's a lot of history in each of these towns, but there are some great little businesses and restaurants. And I do think if you walk those, you get a feel. Nature, I always, you know, I think the Mom Pod Trail, which we are going to connect within our term and construct the final leg of that, will be one of the most scenic and longest trails in the state of Maryland. So I would walk the Mom Pa in the Bel Air area. When you're walking Main Street, you can walk up to the Mom Pa. Listen, I'm from northern Harford County. I think if you go to the Conowingo Dam down to the Fisherman's Park, you can see bald eagles, fish, and one of the prettiest spots in the county. And then Rock State Park, the King and Queen Seat, the Deer Creek, Falling Branch, some of the prettiest things you can see. And, you know, they always talk about Maryland being America in miniature, and I always say Harford County can be Maryland in miniature. You can go and look at the water in Havre de Grace, the Susquehanna River. You can go to North Harford and go up into the King and Queen Seat and hike. So we've got a little bit of both of those things, too.
And I think that's one of the things that people are missing out. So many people that have lived in the county all their lives don't realize all the places they can go to and just take in the beauty of it all.
Yeah, and we started out talking about history. You know, I remind folks, you know, pick up something on Harford County history. What a great history we have. You know, the Bush Declaration was signed a year before the Declaration of Independence. Lafayette marched through Harford County. We had Underground Railroad spots. We have some fabulous history that you can drive around and see within 30 minutes. Revolutionary, Civil War, some great history to look at.
If people can get, what was the book? Harford Heritage by C. Milton Wright. If anybody can find that book, I will read it. I think I've read it three times already.
It does,
I can't put it down. So.
There it is,
okay.
I've got it right there. So I've got a signed copy, but it's, we found that one on the internet, but it's a great resource.
It is.
Really look around at the road markers and get a chance to take in some of the great history there.
That's one of the things my daughter and I keep talking about is taking a summer and going to each historical marker. I think there's 52, if I'm not mistaken, in the county. And just visit them and bring it all in. But now she's she's getting older now. She don't want to. Anything else you'd like to say before we wrap it up?
No, just visit us on our website and stay involved. And look at our applications and correspond with me, whether it's on the budget, report constituent problems. We try to strive to do a good job every day, but we can always do better. There are things we can work on.
Great. Well, thank you again so much. I know
come
the rest of
again.
The term is going to be great.
We'll have
to come back for your second term.
Right.
There you go.
We'll see about that.